You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Elisa.
Ready for episode 414 of Geekiest Show Ever?
I will try to be.
You'll try to be?
I'm not quite caffeinated yet. Maybe I'll talk slower.
You're not caffeinated. I'm starving here because we're recording at lunchtime.
Yeah. It's a Friday.
Yep. So what is it you wanted to talk to us about today?
Well, I thought I'd start out by talking about what I've been dabbling in, what I've been tinkering with technology-wise. And, you know, we're getting ready to, well, you are, I'm not, getting ready to change your clock soon. When does that happen? On Sunday, I think?
Tomorrow?
Night. Oh, is it tomorrow night? Okay, right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's something I hate on the one hand because I'm losing an hour of sleep, but it's going to be lighter at 5 o'clock. So
that's
I can't
true.
Wait for that. Plus, it's that much closer to spring.
That's true. So there's pros and there's cons. Do you do anything special? Like, do you go and check the batteries in your smoke detectors, or is there anything that you use the time change to remind you of?
I'm not good about that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I used to in my other house because that one was battery. These smoke detectors in this house are wired into the house.
Yeah.
So they're good for about 10 years or so. So I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. So that would be, I think, a step in the right direction. If like maybe people should use this opportunity to buy wired detectors if they can instead of the battery ones and save yourself some trouble. What other things? Anything else that you do this time of year?
No.
Other than struggle with the time change, because that's what I struggle with, is the fact that everybody else changes their clocks, but in Arizona we don't change clocks, or at least I should say most of Arizona, because on the reservation they do. So it's very confusing.
I wish they would stop.
Yeah,
it doesn't serve the purpose anymore. It did once upon a time. Doesn't serve a purpose anymore to change the clocks.
Right. And hasn't there been something, like people have been trying to vote on that to change that, but I don't think we've gotten anywhere with it.
I don't know if it's ever been on a federal level or if it's just within states. I really don't know.
Hmm. So what would life look like if we didn't have the time change, do you think?
It wouldn't be dark at 4 o'clock anymore.
Oh, it wouldn't. Oh, but I think that's what I read, that it might be good for certain people in certain areas, but not everybody. So in other words, other people would always be in the dark, I guess. At least at that time of year. So I don't know that it would benefit everybody. So I guess that's why there's so much contention. But anyway, so that's what's gotten me thinking about it a lot lately, is the time change. And plus, so I guess I'll back up a little bit. I use Square. You've used Square to buy things at merchants before?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like a PayPal, basically. And one of the things that Square offers for free when you're a merchant, because I mean, I pay all the fees and all that kind of stuff, but I don't pay like the monthly subscription fee because I'm just a sole proprietor. I don't need all of the stuff that they want to charge. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's over $20 a month. And that's just, I can't justify that cost. But one of the nice features that they have that they do offer for free is the appointment scheduling. So for a while, for about, I don't know, maybe a year or two, I had a link. I always create an email signature. And then in my email signature, I have a book a session link. And for the longest time, I had it linked to my Square appointments calendar. And it was working out. But then things got really complicated with my family member's health. And so this is the scenario. This is the real world case, the real world case use that was affecting me. Let's say I'm taking my family member to a doctor's appointment and it's time for me to schedule an appointment. And so I go and I book her appointment, you know, based on my calendar. Because we were talking about this a little while ago. I use the Calendars 5 app from Readle. You use Fantastical. So we both like our third party calendaring apps, over and above the standard stock iOS, macOS calendar. Now on the Mac, I use the macOS calendar. I did try the calendar app by Readle. I think it's Readle. I'll just use them interchangeably. Called Calendars. So it's calendar singular for the Apple macOS native calendar, an iOS and iPadOS calendar. And then it's called Calendars with an S on it. So I, you know, compared that, but there was, again, it was one of the things where you get the basic features, but then everything else is a subscription fee. And again, it's just one of those things where I don't necessarily hate subscriptions. I'm not a total hater. Developers need to eat too. I know that it's a business model and it's what they need to use to support their business. I'm a business owner myself. And I will gladly pay for subscriptions that I can justify, that really, you know, I feel like my life is that much more enriched by it. This just wasn't one of them, unfortunately. But I did pay for the Calendars 5 app a long time ago, and I've been using that very happily ever since. And so I really like the interface on my iPhone and my iPad when it comes to Calendars 5. The thing that I don't like, though, is sometimes there are some synchronization problems. Whereas if I had just used the built-in stock calendar app from Apple, I wouldn't be struggling with those issues as much. But then, of course, because I'm a geek, I tinker with all of this stuff. So I'm like, well, what happens if I do this? And what happens if I do that? And so I've been experimenting for years with just different kinds of calendaring solutions. So, for example, Google Calendar, right? I use that in the very beginning. Google Calendar, so I have a Google, what is it called? I have a Google Workspace, but it's not like the business version because I'm just me. I'm just a personal person. I'm not running a big, you know, corporation or anything with employees. And so I don't have, that's one of the offerings. They do offer a booking calendar, but unless you have the business version, you have to pay an additional fee for it. So you have to have a business workspace account in order to be able to use the professional booking site. Whereas get this, if you just have a regular consumer level one, so like say, for example, your Google account, you, with your personal Google account, you could create a booking calendar. Get that. Whereas me, I'm using a Google Workspace account, but it's the legacy version. I can't create a booking calendar. That doesn't make any sense. I guess they're in their minds, they're thinking, well, this is something that people want and they'd be willing to pay for it. Whereas I'm just not willing to pay for it because I can't justify the cost of all the other services that
You mean booking calendar as in I need to make an appointment mm-hmm. with you?
Yeah, an appointment
regardless
scheduling.
Of what type of appointment that is?
Yep.
Or does it mean me making an appointment for other people?
It's probably both, I would imagine, because if you're running a business, it might be your role. Like if I hired you, it might be your role to be my scheduler. You might be my bookkeeper or my scheduler. And so then, yes, you would be scheduling appointments on my behalf. So that's one way you can do it. But just you as an individual person using a personal consumer account, that's what I mean. Like, why would you need an appointments calendar? But I mean, I guess it could be like for, you know, say the little league coach or, you know, the volunteer at school that's creating a PTO calendar. That I could see the uses for that, where you might want to schedule fundraisers or something like that. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely a use case for it. But when you're a business, even a small business, even a sole proprietor, you know, this is where it gets a little dicey because I can't just go and say, yes, I'm just going to subscribe to this and subscribe to that. And, you know, before you know it, I mean, as much as I tinker, I can't afford all these subscriptions, say that 10 times real fast. I have to be able to justify it. So that's why I've been tinkering with this stuff, because on one hand, it needs to be something that if it does have a tier with these extra features that I might really need, if I can justify the cost of it, then yeah, I'll pay the subscription. But if it's got, like in the case of Square, for example, that's a good example, where I'm a Square merchant, that's what I use for my invoicing. I pay the fees when, like, say if I charge you $100, I don't get $100. I get like, you know, whatever the, you know, do the math. It's like 0.3% plus like 30 cents if I invoiced you or something like that. They have some kind of a formula that they apply. So then that cost then, so say, let's just say for the sake of arguments, if I charge you $100 for my services rendered, you pay me by clicking a button and using Apple Pay, which I think is wonderful. I mean, every time I go, this is what's funny about it. When I go to work with clients in their homes, They actually, it makes paying fun. They get a kick out of it because it gives you this little animation and it makes a noise and it's really, really cool. And it's like, I'm not really actually thinking like, oh, there goes $5, you know, that I could have put in my gas tank. But it's the cost of doing business. And, you know, of course, as a business owner, you realize that there's costs of doing business. And so at the end of the year, come tax time, I gather up, you know, that's the other thing I like about Square is it does really good reporting. So it gives me a nice report and I can, when my accountant says, how much did you pay in fees for your business? I can say, you know, this, how many hundreds of dollars that it racked up in fees. And then I can claim that as a deduction on my taxes. So, you know, it's the cost of doing business. I'm fine with that. But so over and above those fees though, Square will charge you a monthly fee for all of the features that they offer. So they give you a little taste for free. And then they say, well, if you want more, then you have to pony up the monthly subscription cost. And so where I'm at with it is I like all the features that I'm getting with the free version. And then with their appointments booking, it's great. I liked when I had it on my website just a couple months ago, I liked the way that I could make it look. You know, I could basically give people a choice. When you come to my website and you want to book an appointment, you can either schedule an in-person house call or a remote session. And like we were just talking about, that's a great idea, actually, that I still want to, I want to maintain that. I want to try to make it so that people are given a choice, whether in-person or remote. And then, you know, the next couple of click-throughs, they can decide on what, you know, they can see my availability. So back to the original need, when I'm out with my family member scheduling a health care appointment, I book the appointment using Calendars 5 because I actually use both. I'll tell you how. I use Calendars 5 with all of my color-coded calendars. So my kids' schedules, my schedule, my work schedule with my clients, my husband's school, you know, teaching schedule because he does after-school activities, and then my kids' personal, you know, their doctor's appointments and their after school things. So there's just so much going on. You know, it's me plus the entire family, plus my business. So there's a lot to schedule. I mean, it makes you dizzy just thinking about it. And so in order to be able to keep all this stuff straight, and plus I have ADHD, so I need these actual tools. This is what helps me get life done. Otherwise, I would just never get out of bed if I didn't have these tools. They're really, really helpful. And so everything is color coded. So I'm, of course, mine are purple. You know,
no way.
Yeah, right. Like Keegan's is like aqua and Lucian's is like orange, I think. And my mother-in-law's is green. And, you know, so everybody's got their color. And then what I do is I look at our schedule. So when they say, okay, you know, do you want to bring them in for a blood work panel on this day at this time? Like, okay, let me check my schedule. I look and I say, okay, well, I can, you know, here's a hole right here. Okay, there's this tiny little window. And it's usually only a small window where I can fit in an appointment because then, you know, I got to factor in how much time it takes to drive out there to get them loaded in, to get to the appointment, to get them loaded back in and all, you know, yada, yada, yada. And all the logistics, I love being able to just put the location into the event because when I get in my car to go somewhere, I just poke. I mean, it's literally two pokes. I poke and it takes me to my maps and away I go. I just follow. I just do what the voices tell me to do to get somewhere, right? Because it gives me turn by turn instructions. It's great. And this is all from calendaring. All from calendaring, I can get all this stuff done. So I'm there at the front desk. I'm making the appointment. I book the appointment for my family member or myself or my kid or whoever it is at the time. And I block it off on my calendar. Then the problem is, okay, by the time I drive back home or till I get somewhere where I can get to my brain again, because I've got to, you know, now I've got to load them in the car and now I've got to go, you know, drive somewhere else, go to the next appointment. So it can be a while until I can sit down and like look at my calendar. And when a client texts me or emails me and says they want an appointment, then I have to go and like, you know, block things off again. Well, wouldn't it be great if that was automated? Okay, so there is that possibility. With Square, though, you have to pay extra for that. So for example, I have this booking calendar. So say by the time I've driven home, till I get a chance to sit down and look at it again, a client could go and book me. And then I have to tell them no, because I've already scheduled this appointment for a family member, you see, because they're booking me on the appointments calendar, but then it's not synchronizing to
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. And that's very limited. So if you pay extra, if you pay for the subscription fee, the monthly subscription fee, you get all these other features that I will never use because I'm not selling clothing, you know, I'm not selling wedding cakes or anything like that. One of the features that you get with the subscription is it will link to your Google calendar. Okay. Now, mind you, I don't really want to use Google Calendar. I want to use iCloud. That's where all my calendars are. That's what I prefer. That's what works the best for me. I like it better. I like the interface. I just like it better. I'm not entirely opposed to using Google Calendar, but I would like to have everything all in under one service. You know, what if eventually I do decide to move my email to Apple, to iCloud? Because I'm already paying for that. I mean, that I'm already paying for the one fee. So, sorry, I got a fuzzy on my microphone and it's driving me nuts. Welcome to my ASMR. where was I? Yeah, so I want to use iCloud. You know, I just want to have my set of calendars that I have it set up. So that doesn't work for me. So I'm not going to bother paying for the subscription fee. It just doesn't work. It's a nice interface, and I like the fact that clients can go on there, they can book an appointment. I get an email, they get an email, everybody gets an email. I can use texting, you know, it's got great features in that regard, but it will only sync to Google. What if I was a Microsoft user and I wanted to use Outlook? You wouldn't be able to do that. So It's just very limited in their choosing. If they offered to sync it to my iCloud calendar, then I might actually be tempted to pay.
That's surprising because Square is very popular.
Right. Yeah.
I know when I used to go, I haven't gone in a long time, but when I used to go to Rhinebeck for the Yarn Festival, every time I made a purchase, every single person there had a Square.
Yep. Yeah. It's very, very popular. In fact, maybe even more so than PayPal because they charge less. They take less, you know, of a cut. So, I mean, I started out with PayPal, and PayPal's very good as far as I like their donation collections, and they have a really great interface. And it used to be that you could, you know, we used to have to remember when phones had a headphone port. They started out with this little thing that you plug in the bottom and then you could swipe the credit card.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how we started out. Well, now you can do all of that with Tap to Pay. It's all, you know, you could take your credit card with the chip in it and just tap it on my phone. And pay me for services. Or you can take your iPhone, and this is what's great about it, is because one of the many things I get requested is what is Apple Pay? How do I use it? And so I teach my clients how to do it. And then I can say, oh, and you know, I'll show you at the end of our session, then you can put it into practice. And so then they can pay me with Apple Pay. So that's great. But Square is incredibly popular. It does surprise me that they don't have a little bit more offerings for people using different calendaring tools. But there again, though, I mean, I have to say Google probably is one of the leaders when it comes to businesses. And, you know, a lot of businesses use Google for their back end when it comes to their email hosting and their calendaring hosting. I mean, it's very, very effective. There's a lot of tools that are just rolled right into the Google Calendar tools. I mean, you can, you know, have a Google Meet and all this stuff. Whereas Apple, of course, is going to do Apple. Apple's going to Apple. So, you know, you can have a FaceTime, you know, embedded in there and stuff. But I don't know that Apple is really known for their business tools. You know what I mean? It's like you don't hear people talking about using iCal for businesses necessarily. It's usually like Google kind of leads the front on that. But I like to think different, you know? So anyway, you know, it is what it is. And so that's just to say that I am now going to stop using Square for booking my appointments. And instead I'm looking for a new tool. And so, cause that's what would happen is because I'm not paying for the subscription fee, then when clients go to book me, it's not syncing to my calendar. I'm just getting a notification from the Square Appointments app. And then, you know, it was like extra work. I had to, you know, stop what I was doing and manually go block off that time on my calendar for that appointment and, you know, make sure that I did it within a timely manner so that nobody could book me or so I wasn't double booked or overbooked or, you know, something like that. Plus, I also have to allow wiggle room for traveling and feeding myself and showering. You know what I mean? So I've really got to get this stuff under control and be able to set boundaries as to, like, you know, I can work during, you know, these times and only these times. So then that led me to looking for a different solution. Okay. And so the first one that I have tried is called Calendly. I'll put some links in the show notes to these. That's what I have right now. And like I just showed you before we started recording, I've had my dad testing it. It's about the user experience. So the pros are, the things I really like about it is for free. And then even if I were to say, let's say there were features that I want, because there's workflows and there's a whole bunch of other automation that I can add, it is tempting because I think it is like $10 a month. So that is relatively affordable. Again, it's still a little pricey for me as just a one woman show. It is International Women's Day, by the way. So I should say it's a one woman show here.
Is there a commitment though? Like, do you have to sign up for a year or 5 years or 6 months, or could you try it for 3 months and say, I know it's only $10, but it's just too much for the business that I do.
Right. That's a great
question. I don't want to do this anymore.
I believe there is no commitment, but I think if you want the lower price, you know how it is. It's like, well, it might be this much a month, but if you pay it as an annual fee,
you pay it for the full year.
Yeah. So that would be the commitment. So, you know, maybe a year, you know, again, this is one of those things I got to really, we're getting ready to do our taxes. You know, we're also getting ready to buy a new car. That really starts to tighten things up because I'm now driving a car with the engine light on. And I can't do that for much longer. So, yeah, adding on a car payment is going to make things tighter. So it's like, well, how am I going to work that? So that's, you know, those are considerations I really have to think about when it comes to, even though it may only be $10 a month, that might be nothing to somebody else. But for me, you know, it can be a bit of a stretch because it's
I was just going to say that $10 isn't a lot, but depends on who you are and what your budget is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So these are things that I just don't take lightly. This is why I tinker so much. This is why I geek out about this kind of stuff, because I really want to really justify it. I really want to kick the tires on. I really want to make sure that I understand what it is that I'm paying for, and, you know, or what can I get away with and not pay for. Again, I'm all for supporting these companies, and I think it's fantastic that they offer so much for free. But like in the case of Square, that is something that really bugs me, is they will offer things for free until they won't. You know, you could be using these features for free for like a year, 2 years, and then all of a sudden they'll decide that in their business model, they're not making enough money or whatever. And then they say, well, because they do that, they'll say, you know, these free features are going away. So if you use them, you've got to either pony up or recode your website and take off, you know, this embed and, you know, take out this link and, you know, that's a lot of work too.
Do any of these services give you a trial?
They do.
You know,
they do.
You can do this, mm-hmm. use these features for 7 days or 14 days.
Yeah, so
you
it's usually like 7 to 14 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Get a feel for it and see if you want to spend the money.
It is nice that they do give you a trial for either 1 to 2 weeks. But for me personally, that isn't really enough because of so many other tasks that I'm doing between, you know, helping to care for another family member, my kids. There's just so much going on that it's just not enough time, I don't think personally, because, you know, a week can go by so quickly for me before I'm like, my head's spinning. I'm like, oh, I can't believe it's already Thursday, you know? And so I would just need a little bit more time than just 2 weeks. So anyway, that's that when it comes to timing. But yeah. And so there's two services I'm looking at right now. Calendly is one. The other one is called Simply Meet Me. There's Simply Book Me and there's Simply Meet Me. And they're kind of
a terrible name.
I know you said it, now it really bugs me.
It's a terrible name.
And yet, like, there would be a way that I could somehow, again, if you pay for it, you can just use all of your own branding. And so you really would never see that name, except you might during maybe certain email transactions, like you might see that the calendar, that the service is through there, because like, I know there's places within the booking process, within scheduling an appointment where the customer has to, like, quote unquote, agree to the privacy terms. And so if they're going to read that, they're going to see that that's what it's called. So there's not really any getting away from it. Now, Simply Book Me sounds better than simply meet me, right? That mm-hmm. would be a little bit
yes, it does.
Less tragic.
Well,
yeah, but that one
well,
costs more, of course.
Even that one is kind of...
Yeah. I mean, I think of booking you know, a hair appointment or a manicure or, like in my case, technical support. So booking, I like the term booking. I like to use that. Book appointment. I like the way that sounds. You know, scheduling could be another phrase to be used, but I like book. Anyway, so I'm comparing those two things, you know, side by side, because they're very comparable in price, if not almost the same thing. But they have, of course, their different free offerings. But yeah, like once bitten, twice shy when it comes to things being taken away, like I was saying with Square, you know, you could be using these certain features and then all of a sudden they'll just decide, you know, 3 months from now, these free features are going to be lumped into the paid version. So that's ouch. And so I don't know what the history is when it comes to Calendly and Simply Meet Me, what their history is for doing that sort of thing. So that's something to research. But so far, I really like the Calendly interface. I like the fact that, and I think both of these do, because that's why I'm also considering Simply Meet Me. Both of them do offer to synchronize with your iCloud calendar. And that's what made me the happiest, because then I don't have to. Now, if I had to, I would. If Google is the only choice and it's a free offering and it gives me what I want, then I will use Google Calendar if I have to. I'm not completely opposed to it, but I would prefer to keep everything with iCloud. And so far, these two tools will let me do that. So that's what I'm evaluating. Now, the thing that I'm struggling with right now is, and maybe I'll reach out to their customer support and see if they can offer any kind of solution, because maybe it's down to coding. And so like what I had you try out, and I'll try to verbally explain it, is that when I have on my website, themacmommy.com/calendar, that's where I have this tool embedded in my website so that you don't have to go anywhere else. Everything's just there on my website, easy to get to. I can link that page into my email signature so that when I email somebody, they can just click it and it goes right there. And you can do all of the booking on the website, no problem. My terms are listed. All the instructions are really clear. At least I try to make it. What happens, though, is when you do it in the iOS or on a mobile interface, and even the iPad is okay because there's just enough space. But once you switch to an iPhone, then it gets a little dicey. So it looks nice, and the calendar shows up. It loads pretty. It's pretty snappy. It loads pretty quickly. I even had my dad test it on an old iPhone 7 Plus, and he could get through it. But it's the scrolling. Because it's embedded, it's very janky. You experienced it. It doesn't scroll. And like, how is my 80-year-old client going to be able to interface with that? So that has me really concerned.
There's a way around it, but if you don't know it.
Exactly.
You know, you can't do it.
Yeah. And I shouldn't have to explain that. Well, actually, if you just place your fingertip to the side, then you can scroll up and down. But it's really difficult to verbalize those instructions. So that just can't be. I can't have that. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like maybe if customer service, I mean, maybe they'll win me over. If customer service can figure out a way that says, you know, oh, well, if you just add this line of code or, you know, change the pixel height to this, you know, maybe that'll fix it. Because I have experimented with a little bit of that. I tried changing the pixel height and it didn't really do anything. Plus, I'm also right now, and this is something else I'm tinkering with too, is building my website. So right now I have it built in Google Sites, which is kind of, you know, a click and build. You can't really do a whole lot of customization with code. I mean, I could add CSS to it, but that's a whole other thing. And so there's some awkward spacing that I don't like, and I might be moving to WordPress. I'm going to investigate that soon, so we'll see what happens there. But yeah, so that's where I'm at with that. So those are the two tools that I am tinkering with and trying out. And if I can get the scrolling fixed, then I guess that will determine the winner. Whoever can give me and my clients, my readers, my users, whoever comes to the site to interact with my site, whoever can provide the best mobile experience will be the winner. So I will report back on that. So stay tuned to find out who the winner is of the embedded calendar app war.
The cage match of the calendar.
Yeah. That's what it is. So that's my spiel. That's my thing on, that's where I'm at with calendaring. You want to talk about what we're doing when we're not busy scheduling things?
Well, we are recording this on Friday, March 8th, and it's going to be released on Sunday, March 10th, which is Oscar night.
Oscar night.
Did you see any of the movies? We're going to do like a little casual palate cleanser, low-key. Did you watch any movies?
I have seen a couple. I have seen on your list here. So these are from the Oscar nominees.
Yeah, these are different Oscar nominees, whether it's Best Picture or these are just ones that I've seen. Best Picture or Best Actor or something like that. I don't go to the movies.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't enjoy the experience.
I don't think I've been in a theater for 4 years now. It'll be 4 years on the 13th since the world ended for us in that way. And I've never really enjoyed
the experience. Though I did go last summer. We went to see Barbie because it was theater day or movie day or whatever it was called. It was on a Sunday afternoon in August and it was $4. I'm like, for $4.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, otherwise, what are you paying? $30 to go to a movie? For $30, I get like three different streaming services for an entire month.
Right.
So we went to see Barbie and I have to admit, I mean, it was fun. And I have to admit, I don't like dolls. I'm very anti-Barbie. It just turned my stomach. Like, I just felt it was very...
capitalistic?
No, not capitalistic. It just felt like
plastic.
It was degrading to girls.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it. And I always swore if I had any daughters, they're not getting dolls.
No Barbies.
They're going to be like me. Because when I was a kid, I never played with dolls. I read books. I played games. I was cerebral. Until seventh grade, and that all changed. But that's when you discover boys, you know. But when I saw the Barbie movie, I actually have a newfound respect for Barbies.
I'm glad you said that because I felt the same way going into it. I thought, oh, God, everybody's talking about Barbie. They're so pink. There's so much pink everywhere. And I'm not really that wild about pink. Unless it's paired with purple.
It wasn't the pink. It was just the I can't think of the right word. It was just like so phony and
fake.
Airhead.
Yeah. That's why it's a plastic, like so fake. Like there's just so much like unrealistic.
But then after watching it, then I realized, you know, little girls see themselves in these dolls.
Yes.
That's why it's really wonderful that you have the black Barbies and the Asian Barbies and like the physically disabled, you know, Barbies or maybe one with a hearing aid because
the weird Barbie was my favorite Barbie.
I love Kate
McKinnon. It's ADHD
anyway.
Barbie. Sweet.
But little girls need to be able to see themselves in the dolls that they play with. And I thought
I needed to see myself in Weird Barbie. Totally.
Yeah. And how the Barbies were doctors and lawyers and
empowered
gardeners.
Women.
Yeah, but I mean they were the president. They were everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a newfound respect. Not that I'm running out and buying Barbie for anybody, but I did have a newfound respect. And does it deserve an Oscar? No. No. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely fun.
Yeah.
I also love Ryan Gosling anyway. I mean, him in The Notebook, oh my God, Be Still My Heart.
Is Ryan Gosling like my Jason Momoa?
Probably. Oh, I just love him. But I love the t-shirt, you know, your Knuff, you know, enough, Knuff. I mean, I just loved him.
Yeah.
So
it was a good flick. It was a good flick. And I really do. I like Billie Eilish and I love that her song has gotten so much airplay. And
it did actually get
me a little teary eyed at the end. It was a very good song. And lately I've been seeing it paired with a lot of, shall we say, progressive memes and stuff. And so, yeah, I liked it. I think she's a really, really talented artist.
Yeah, I cannot listen to her.
No, not yet.
Cannot listen to her. No. Now, I have to say, she was on Saturday Night Live 2 years ago, and she was funny. And she did some skits with Kate McKinnon.
Oh, Kate McKinnon, I love.
The two of them were just breaking up. They were having a really hard time keeping it together.
That's my favorite.
They were funny. They were funny. But as a singer,
I can't.
Yeah, it's like a, I think it's an acquired taste because I didn't like it at first. I was like, why is this so popular? Same with like Taylor Swift. God, you know, dare I forbid say. No, I get it. I mean, I like her songs too. I think I'm a little bit old for Taylor Swift when it comes to that. Maybe, I don't know. I have to listen to it more. I like what she represents, and I like what she's doing for girls. Yeah.
Yeah. Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish, yeah. I give them both a lot of credit for writing their own music, performing their own music.
And then using their platform.
Mm-hmm. For good.
Right.
And giving young girls and young adults the power to own themselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep.
So just because I don't like their music doesn't mean I do not like them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the songs I could take it or leave it. But some of the songs, I have grown to like Billie Eilish music more to the point where now I'm like adding it to my playlists and listening to it before. And you want to hear something? You know who has gotten me to, I would say, who would be the exposure point? I mean, we originally wanted to subscribe to Apple Music because we really wanted our children to be able to show us what kind of music they like. I mean, we're very, very proud parents when it comes to like, if there's one thing I can say that we've done right as parents is we've given both of our children very good musical taste. I'm very proud of their musical taste. And especially, I can see it in the new music that we have not heard and also older music that we have not heard. My kids have discovered songs that are, you know, from the 50s and 60s. And I'm like, I never even heard that. I didn't even know that existed.
That's what I listen to.
Really,
60s
really
cool. and 70s.
I do. I mean, that's, you know, mostly my favorite, you know, quote unquote classic rock, right? But they have found things. Like just the other day, my oldest played something from King Crimson.
Oh, like, yeah.
I had heard of King Crimson. Nate never heard of King Crimson. I'd heard of King Crimson, but I couldn't really associate, like, oh, that's a King Crimson song. You know what I mean? But, like, my kid's, like, showing us this music. I'm like, this is great. So we love the fact that our kids have great musical taste, and they come up with, you know, really great, interesting stuff that we actually enjoy listening to. We luckily are not the type of parents that are constantly telling our kids to turn that off or turn it down. We're like, oh, add that to my playlist.
That was my mother, especially when I played the Rolling Stones.
Yeah?
Yeah, she wasn't too happy.
No?
When I was in high school. Turn that thing down. Yeah. That's what I used to hear all the time. They do drugs. Like, I don't care. I like their music. You know?
I always heard, like, they're Satanists. Yeah.
Like, and to this day, Gimme Shelter is one of my like top five favorite songs ever.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, you know? That reminds me for the next time, you know what you and I have to play with? I can't believe that you see how busy I've been? In Apple Music, we can make shared playlists. Remember how we were doing shared albums and you were sending me concert footage and stuff? We can do that with shared playlists. You and I could create a playlist.
We have one for Geekiest Show Ever.
That's right, don't we?
Of songs that I put together from concerts that I went to. I think what I did is I took maybe five songs. You know, it's like Rod Stewart songs and five Def Leppard songs.
Didn't we make a COVID playlist, I think?
We did, but okay. I don't
Kevin
think we
was helping us with
it.
That. Yeah.
I think we was like internal.
Yeah.
And we were making like really funny.
Yes. They were all about being sick and
title.
Because that's how we weirdos were trying to
We
deal
were
with
coping.
It.
Yeah. We were coping.
Right. Those were our maladaptive coping behaviors.
Yes.
Creating playlists full of songs that were about being sick and getting healthy.
Yeah. I don't think I have that anymore. I don't think I have that anymore. I'll have to.
Well,
like
we'll go ask Kevin and see if he still has it. But yeah, so, but there's something must be new in addition to that, though. And I can't remember now, because I do remember us creating a playlist, but I don't remember if it was within Apple Music or if it was something that we could share or how we did that. So yeah, we'll have to revisit that. Anyway, that reminded me of that because of, anyway, so we were talking about, how do we get on this, how do we go down this rabbit hole? What were we talking about? Music and playlists?
Oh, we're talking about the Barbie movie, and you were talking about Billie Eilish.
Oh, right.
That's like my stream of consciousness.
That's how we fell in there, huh?
I can end up remembering an incident from kindergarten because we talked about calendars, you know?
Right. Okay, so we took a wrong turn at Albuquerque. Okay, so back to the movie
list. Another movie I watched was Oppenheimer.
Okay, and tell me about that, because that's on our
Peacock.
List. It is on Peacock.
It's on Peacock.
How long is it?
3 hours.
3 hours. Wow. Okay, so it's an Aquaman. Okay, somewhere in that.
That's
area. The beauty of being able to watch it at home, because then you can pause it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you have to stop and take care of a few things, do that.
Wait, I gotta go jump back into the rabbit hole for just. I forgot something in there real quick. I was gonna tell you how I got exposed to music from Billie Eilish and Taylor Swift. And I started to tell you that I started to tell you that the kids are usually the people who expose us to new music. But guess who it was this time? Take a wild guess.
Kurt?
Nope. My husband. My husband likes, I'm going to out him now. My husband could possibly be a Swiftie. What is it if you're a Billie Eilish fan, I wonder?
You're an eyelash.
An eyelasher?
I don't know.
You heard it here first, folks. But yeah, my husband is the one who introduced me to both of their music. He really likes that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's because he works with teenagers all day long, but yeah. I thought you'd find that interesting. Okay. All right. Back out of the rabbit hole.
Oppenheimer was 3 hours. We actually sat one sitting, because I'd said to Tom, this is a 3-hour movie. It might have to be, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours tonight, the rest of it tomorrow. But no, we ended up watching the whole thing in one sitting. Definitely long. It was okay. It wasn't, oh my God, that was such a good movie. It was okay.
Uh-huh. Riveting.
It was, the information was new to me because I knew that Robert Oppenheimer was the father of the atomic bomb. Mm-hmm. But I really didn't know anything more than that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it gave you a new perspective on it?
Just learning.
Mm-hmm. Learning things you hadn't known before.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's all fact-based.
It's about...
It's based on a true story, or is it more of a biography?
No, it's the true story of how Oppenheimer developed the bomb.
So would you consider it a biography?
No, it's not a biography.
Okay.
It's I'm reading this from the Internet Movie Database. The story of American scientist J. Robert Oppenheimer and his role in the development of the atomic bomb. So it says, dramatization of the life story of Oppenheimer. Just, you know, how he went from being in college and then eventually...
So like his life story.
Becoming, you know, developing the bomb, and then what happened after it was finally dropped.
Yeah. And how he felt about it. And
yeah.
Yeah. So how was the acting? Was it good actors?
The acting is good.
Good cast.
Robert Downey Jr. is in it. He was very good.
I like him.
I'm not sure if he was, let me check the Oscar page here.
I did see his name.
If he was nominated for...
I think he is.
He's nominated for supporting role.
Cool.
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, he was good.
And so other than it being long, what else do you remember about it? I mean, did you come away with it with different thoughts than you had going into it?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just like, okay, I saw Oppenheimer.
But you'd recommend it, and it gets one Aquaman for the length.
Yeah. Well, wait to Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay, how was that?
That one's 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That one, and we sat and we watched the whole thing in one sitting, too, which surprised me.
It does seem like movies are getting kind of long. They're like Zeppelins of the movie.
There was
movie
a lot
industry.
To say in this movie, and it was
a lot to
another
unpack.
One of those movies that's really disgusting about how people are treated. So basically, you have in 1920s, the Osage, I think it's pronounced, the Osage Indian Nation developed, they discovered oil on their land. Mm-hmm. So all these white people came in, married the women so they could take the oil away from them and take the money from them.
That's disgusting.
And they started to be murdered. And that way, so
they were
you're the woman, you know, and I come in and I marry you. You just happen to die. Mm. I get everything. Not even our children.
And they even had children with them.
They had children, and the children got nothing. And it was the men who got all that money.
That's sadistic.
And one by one, these women are dying. And even some men are dying. Mm. And then the FBI comes in to investigate.
And this happened how long ago?
This was in the 1920s.
So not that long ago, but then within my grandparents' lifetime.
Yeah. So this this had Robert De Niro, who was very good. He was a bad person. Leonardo DiCaprio was in it. He was very good, you know, as far as the acting. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of good acting in this movie.
Good.
It's just long.
Yeah, it's on my
list.
But
it was nominated.
Two long ones.
Nominated for a lot of. See, no one. Leonardo DiCaprio was not nominated, which was kind of surprising. But Robert De Niro was. Lily Gladstone, who, if she does win Best Actress, would be the first Native American
to win. Wow.
And let me see. God, then you
just sad how long it's taking for that to occur.
Yeah, cinematography, costume design, directing. That was Martin Scorsese. Best Picture. So there was a lot that it was nominated for. Mm-hmm. And then what else did I see? Maestro. That was on Netflix.
What's that one about?
That's about Leonard Bernstein.
Oh.
Except it wasn't really about him. It was, I don't know. I did not like it. I was very disappointed. It was Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Let's look up. Give you the exact Maestro. It's the love story between Leonard Bernstein and Felicia Bernstein.
So it's billed as a love story?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to see like him as a conductor and a composer.
Mm.
And he wasn't a good person.
Interesting.
And I was just very disappointed. This one is a little over 2 hours, 2 hours and 10 minutes. Wasn't impressed.
So wouldn't really recommend that one.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. But again, it's nominated for the awards. And the other one I watched was The Color Purple, which is you have The Color Purple back from the 80s, which was Oprah Winfrey and Whoopi Goldberg. Mm-hmm. Dramatic, very difficult to watch movie. Mm-hmm. Then they made a Broadway show about it, which I saw and was really very good. Then they decided to make another movie based on the show, so it was a musical. I thought it was terrible. The remake was terrible.
This one that's been nominated? This one was terrible?
Best Supporting Actress was nominated for The Color Purple. I just was not
What did you think was terrible about it?
The songs, I don't know. I just didn't like it. It didn't grab me like the other movie did. And I really liked the musical on Broadway.
Was there overlap, though? Was it just a remake or was there overlap? Was it just like... Was it a reimagining of The Color Purple?
No. It was the same storyline.
Okay. But not as gripping as the first one.
I don't know. I just didn't... Now, Danielle Brooks, who is the... let me get back to that page. I think it's her name. It's Danielle, actress and a supporting... Yep, Danielle Brooks from The Color Purple. She was also in Orange is the New Black. She's very good.
Okay.
And she was very good in Orange is the New Black, too.
Mm-hmm. I'll look that up real quick.
So you're looking up what? Orange is the New Black?
Yeah, the actress I'm trying to place.
Yeah. She was good in both. But that is all that I've seen.
What role did she play in Orange is the New Black?
I don't remember her. That was such a long time ago.
I know, but I really liked that show. Oh, Tasty.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and she was, you know.
I would watch it just for that because I like her.
Yeah, she was good. She was good in both.
Mm-hmm. It kind of makes me want to watch them back to back and see. I wonder what would happen if you hadn't seen the first one. Maybe I should watch them backwards. Maybe I should watch the new one first and then the old one.
You could.
I think that's what I'll do. Because I think I might have watched the old one, but just so long ago that...
That's what I tell Tom a lot, that some of these movies I've seen such a long time ago that it's as if I'm watching them for the first time.
Right.
Like Turner Classic Movies is doing 31 Days of Oscar, I think is what they're calling it. And they're showing all these different movies that won an Oscar in one way, or whether it's Best Actor, Best Director, Best Movie, whatever. Something within the movie won an Oscar. So I recorded a whole bunch of them. And I've been watching, one was Silence of the Lambs, which I saw back in the 90s.
Right, and that was very riveting for its
time. It was as if I hadn't watched it before. It was brand new to me. Last night, I watched The Goodbye Girl, 1977. That was Richard Dreyfuss and Marsha Mason. Richard Dreyfuss won the Oscar for Best Actor. I'm like, really? He was good. Was he Best Actor? I don't know what the competition was. I don't remember. I remember seeing it back in the 70s. Some of these movies, they don't hold up.
Yeah. Well, and some of the things are really cringe, I noticed.
Well, and then another one I watched was, I got to remember now which ones I recorded, Cat Ballou. That was 1965, somewhere in that area. Lee Marvin won the best movie, best actor. And Jane Fonda was in it. I got through 45 minutes. And I deleted it.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, this acting is just so bad. Yeah, just so bad. I cannot.
Yeah.
I watched In the Heat of the Night.
Well, then that kind of explains why they are doing these remakes. Because at first, when I first heard this, I was like, why would they take something that was so good and like remake it? What's the deal there? Maybe this is why. Maybe our collective conscience needs a refresh or a reboot or something like that.
I watched In the Heat of the Night, 1967.
I mean, I'm about to turn 50, and I think that that's when it starts to happen, at least, because that's when, even just Nate and I, just last night, we were talking about this, that we were talking about movies we wanted to watch, and he, you know, the kids sometimes make references to things, and we're at that age now where we'll make a reference to something. Like, I'll just pick on Jaws, for example. You know, you're trying to sneak up on a kid, and you go, and like it's lost on them. It means nothing to them. We're like,
but you go back and you watch them and you go, oh my god, I've heard of all these different movies. They're supposed to be classic actors, classic movies. In the Heat of the Night, I'm pretty sure I watched that before, but again, it was brand new to me. Sidney Poitier, and that's wasn't bad. But again, it just shows you the racism of the Deep South, and you just go, that wasn't too bad. The other one I watched was Mildred Pierce, 1945. Joan Crawford. She won Best Actress for that movie. And I'm watching, I'm going, are you kidding? If she won Best Actress for that movie, all the other nominees must have been pretty bad.
Yeah, it makes you wonder like how our tastes have changed, our
it wasn't
levels
that she
of
was,
expectation have changed.
It wasn't that she was a bad actress, but it wasn't anything spectacular.
But for the time, you know, when times were different back then.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was trying to keep in the back of my mind. Okay, this is what, you know, this
and
is.
And the things
what
that they
was based
had
on
to,
then.
And the things that they probably had to overcome in order to get to be in that spot at the time were probably a lot different compared to now.
And she was beautiful. She was, I mean, when you looked at her later in life, she was very hard looking. She had like the very arched eyebrows that made her look very hard. She was beautiful and very, very thin.
Well, this was all before Botox and cosmetic surgery.
She was a beautiful woman.
But then again, she probably did it old school, you know, probably had anorexia, you know, who knows, what kinds of
things. So then I also have Waiting to Watch. I have On Golden Pond.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Is what I watched that one before. That's Katherine Hepburn and Henry Fonda. I have Sergeant York, which is Gary Cooper. A Man for All Seasons.
I've heard of that.
East of Eden, which is James Dean.
Are these all your rewatches that you have queued up?
I've seen On Golden Pond. I've never seen the rest of these.
Okay.
Elmer Gantry. which is Shirley Jones, maybe 1960-ish. And I've got Funny Girl for Barbra Streisand.
You know what I would add to the list?
I've never seen any of these.
I would add to the list 9 to 5.
You know, that was on.
It was.
Not during the Oscars, but it was on, I want to say within the last year. Huh. And I did record it and watched it again because I do remember seeing that movie. And I'm like, yeah this just doesn't, doesn't.
Well, that would
up.
Be one of those things where some of the things would be very cringy, like... Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you look back on some of these movies or TV shows that you go, like, I remember in the 80s, I used to love watching Family Ties.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then I started watching it again. I went,
really?
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. yeah, no, no, this isn't working. No.
Yeah, our brains are just different now, I think.
Where other shows, I still love I Love Lucy.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the true classics that just don't, maybe that's what it is. They don't age. Something like that just doesn't age.
We just finished watching, for Tom's second time and my fourth time, The West Wing.
Oh, you love The West Wing.
Oh, I love The West Wing because...
That's probably top of your list, isn't it? Like, you love that show.
West Wing and I Love Lucy are my two favorites.
Oh, okay.
The West Wing is how you wish government worked, regardless of your political affiliation, regardless of your political leanings or thoughts or desires.
Yeah.
That's because this is a group of people who bust their butts for the American people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a fantasy land, though.
Yeah, it is. It is. But
it's
escapism
at its best, right?
I love it. Mm-mm-mm. So I'm currently watching. There's nothing really current that I want to watch. So I'm watching Boston Legal again.
You know what would be really cringe to watch again? The Golden Girls.
I've never seen The Golden Girls.
Oh, no? Oh, my God.
Nope. Never seen it. Going through and I'm rewatching old shows. Yeah. My son texted me, I don't know, about a week ago, and he says, you have any good shows to watch on Hulu? I said, yeah. St. Elsewhere, L.A. Law, NYPD Blue. Mm-hmm. They're all on. So he's watching St. Elsewhere. He's on season 2 already. He goes, this is a really good show. I loved it.
You know what my dad's favorite shows is? My dad has, well, he loves NCIS, but the thing that he has watched the most of, I think he's watched the entire seasons of all the House. He's watched House like 4 times over.
I've never seen that one.
That one's really cringe to watch that again. My eldest got interested in it and wanted to start watching it again. So we're like, okay, we'll watch it. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of soothing because you've already been there. You kind of remember what happens. But now rewatching it again, it's like, wow, this guy's a real dick. And wow, this is really, it's very cringy. Like,
I mean, it's
true. How can you get away with that stuff?
We watched 20 years ago, not quite 20, maybe 15 years ago, we watched Boston Legal, which is William Shatner. And James Spader.
Oh, God.
I love James Spader. I could just stare at him all day.
Yeah.
But
talk about
just William Shatner and the lines, you know, the line, Denny Crane, she's having my baby. I mean, just he comes out of elevators and some of the things he says, which I can't repeat here, are so funny. I mean, Tom would be in another room and I would like rewind, video it on my phone and send it to him. You know? I'm like, Denny Crane-ism. I mean,
kind of like a Christopher Walken.
Just so funny.
We just watched William Shatner last night. Like, I think the last couple of nights, Nate puts that on at night. And I'm trying to think of what the show is. But it's like didn't he do also Ripley's Believe It or Not? I think this one is either, it's not Unsolved Mysteries, I don't think, or it's something like Unsolved Mysteries. It's something like that. It's like a crime show where it's like a, you know, this strange phenomenon happened and then they try to explain.
Well, that would make sense because Star Trek.
Yeah. That's what it is. But it's like, William Shatner before bed.
That show came on, I want to say 2004 to 2009, somewhere in that. And some of the things that are said in those shows, I'm like, ooh.
Mm, cringe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure this is really appropriate anymore, but I still love it.
Yeah.
Okay, William Shatner, let's see. Star Trek.
Right. Are you looking to see if he did Ripley's or Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah, I'm looking to see his different... Oh, he's done a lot of...
Oh, he's done a lot of stuff. I used to work at this one place where somebody had... He had released a CD, and it was a... It was like a... I don't know. How would you say it? It was like a song CD, but, you know, he, like, sing talks. He's not really singing. He's more, like, talking.
Yeah.
And we kind of, like, challenged each other in our little cube farm, like, in our cubicles. Like, all right, listen to the CD and see if you can stay awake.
Oh, he was in Miss Congeniality, too.
Oh, yeah. Stay awake to Shatner challenge.
Okay, I'm already back to 1997, and I'm not seeing what you're talking about.
Well, maybe what if you just search Unsolved Mysteries?
That was Robert Stack. Unsolved Mysteries. Yeah, that was...
Oh, okay. Unexplained is what we were watching. The Unexplained. That's what came up when I searched Unsolved Mysteries. But it's called The Unexplained, and that's probably why I thought it was Unsolved Mysteries. Because it's like the unexplained, mysterious something. Yeah.
The Unexplained, 2011?
I'm like, I need a nap just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah, that's what we wind down to. The Unexplained.
On that note, can you explain to listeners? See that nice segue there?
Nice.
Can you explain to listeners how to get in touch with us?
Smooth, smooth. So yeah, slide on over to geekiestshowever.com and click on our contact tab. You can also email us podcast@geekiestshowever.com. And then we're on the socials. And where are we on socials?
I am on Twitter, X, whatever the heck you want to call it, @ElisaPacelli1 or Mastodon at mastodon.social/@SenseiDai. And for Melissa, themacmommy.com. All her information is there if you want to reach out to Melissa. So we want to thank you so much for listening. We will be back in a few weeks. And until then, please stay safe.